You're listening to the Royal Oak Church Podcast. Royal Oak Church is based in Front Royal, Virginia, and led by Pastor John Acronero. At Royal Oak Church, we believe in training children, restoring families, and lighting our community. We're so thankful that you have decided to tune in, and we pray that God will minister to your heart and speak to you as you hear His Word today. God bless.
On this Easter morning, you know, it's funny, as a pastor or somebody that preaches a lot, you have to, every year we're going to have Easter, and every year we're going to have Christmas, and it's the same story, and you wonder, what can I say differently this year? So I'm going to talk about victory, because that's never been taught on Easter. But we're going to look at victory over death in a little bit different way today. And you notice the tomb that was set up in the window and the stone that was rolled away over 2,000 years ago, that's what Mary and the other woman had seen when they arrived there, thinking that they were going to do their ritual burial ceremony with all the things that they brought. Lo and behold, that was not the case for them. And emotions really ran high on that day when the empty tomb was there. And I'm going to read from Luke 24, verses 1 through 12. It says, "But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood, they were puzzled. Two men suddenly appeared, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, 'Why are you looking among dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He has risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day.' Then they remembered that he had said this, so they rushed back to the tomb to tell his disciples and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened, but the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. However, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw an empty linen wrapping. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened." I just love that story, and guys, there's a lot of truth to what it says at the end. The women said something, and we thought it was nonsense. Shame on us. That's probably why the Lord prompted the women to go first. But there was a lot of confusion, a lot of different emotions that were running through, as we saw. There was confusion, dismay, unbelief, and excitement, and joy. There's a lot of emotion. We have the benefit, again, of fast-forwarding 2,000 years. We know the whole story, but to them, it just didn't make sense. The angel that had met Mary at the tomb told her exactly what happened. He's not here. You don't see him here. It's because he's not here. You know, it would be difficult to wrap our mind around that for any of us, to go to a tomb or a gravesite where somebody had just recently been buried, and all of a sudden it's torn up. Nobody's there. They're gone. First thing we would think is somebody stole them. They recently saw Jesus, though, call Lazarus out of a tomb. Just probably weeks before this. So they must have had some belief that this is possible. Lazarus, I think, was dead 4 days, if I'm wrong. I apologize, but it's about 4 days. So even longer than Jesus, and Jesus called him out of the tomb. But the problem was, Jesus was the one who is now dead. So how could a dead Jesus raise himself out of the grave? That was probably what they were thinking. Because again, the disciples had seen Lazarus run out of the tomb, walk out, probably stumble out. He could barely see with all the wrappings on him. So many questions. How could a dead Jesus raise himself from the dead? It's a fair question. But the evidence was still there. It actually happened. Nobody knew where the body was, and nobody was saying they took it. They could actually see that he's no longer there. In fact, Jesus would appear to them soon afterwards, so they can see him face to face, and they will have long discussions with him. And today we celebrate that victory over death. But I'm here to tell you today that it's not victory over physical death that we're celebrating. Of course, if any of us witness something like that, somebody coming back from death, and that's happened even in modern times, maybe not that long, but people have died and all of a sudden recovered, and we hear stories like that, and you'll never forget that, especially if you're a relative. Coming back from 3 days, that would be life-changing if you knew somebody that came back from the dead 3 days later. You'd never forget that. Now, I'm not diminishing how profound this physical resurrection was, because obviously you would be shocked and awed to have seen that, and your reaction would have probably shown on your face. In fact, your faith probably would have grown to see that, wow, Jesus did what he said. He's not here. But this isn't the victory we're talking about today. I would tell you that, in fact, if Jesus died and rose again and that was it, we wouldn't be celebrating this 2,000 years later. It would be considered a miracle for Jesus to walk out of that tomb 3 days later, his physical body intact. But that miracle would only benefit him. He's alive physically again. In fact, the victory we're celebrating today is the victory over the power of sin and death. It's much more deep than just one physical body resurrecting itself from the grave. Remember our opening scripture. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Jesus didn't come to conquer physical death so we could all live in our human bodies on earth for the rest of our lives. Honestly, and I shared this at 9, I'm getting old. And Michelle and I have interesting conversations now as we both, she doesn't get old, only I do, no. But as I progress in my age, we have conversations like, it's sore today, I don't wonder what that's from, or have you ever felt this way? Or what does that look like? Or, you know, you've had those conversations with your spouse. Thanks, Roy. So I don't really want to keep this human body going for another 100 years. At 150, I don't know how I'd feel. Probably not doing too well. But Jesus conquered the eternal grave. There was a war going on between Friday and Sunday, a spiritual battle that we just talked about. That spiritual battle is what was fought, and that's the victory that we're going to talk about today, because it took death to conquer death. Jesus had to die a human death in order for his spirit to be released to fight a spiritual battle on our behalf, and it's what was needed for salvation. Jesus returned from the grave physically, but spiritually, the war was over. In less than 3 days, Jesus defeated the powers of darkness. So what does this victory mean to you and I? It means we have a choice now. The Bible's pretty clear. The wages of sin is death. Sin is separation from God. We cannot live eternally with God if we are sinful. It doesn't happen. It's like when you flip a magnet over and they repel each other. You can't do anything to bring them together. So if we live a sinful life, if we are in sin and we have no way out of that except for sacrificing animals like God's children used to have to do, God sent Jesus, he said, no more. We need to end this thing. And Jesus ended it 2,000 years ago for you and I. But it's our choice to accept it. And it seems like a very logical choice to anybody in here that if you want to live eternally with the God who created you, who loves you more than anybody you could ever know on this earth, it seems logical that's okay, I'll do that. But sometimes our minds get in the way. Jesus took our place, paid our ransom by claiming victory over death. And we have the chance to inherit that victory. It's ours. It's yours. I'm telling you today, if you don't know Christ, and maybe this is your first time in a church, there's nothing you can do to earn this. It's already yours. You just have to accept it. And And it all comes down to a choice. Do we believe or not? When we arrived on this planet, all of us, when we were born immediately into a war. This war is not a war against each other. It's not a war against other countries or a war against political parties, although we've done a good job believing that that's what the war is about. We have. The war is spiritual. Everything the enemy does, everything he does is he's looking to destroy God's kingdom. Everything he plots is in an effort to destroy the kingdom of God. The enemy isn't looking to destroy you personally. That's not his goal. He's going to try, but that's not his goal. His goal is to destroy the kingdom of God. But there's great news. I have great news for you. The great news is that Satan is trying to destroy God's kingdom. How is that great news? Because God has already won. He can't. He won't. He never will. To me, that's fantastic news. For the enemy, that's frustrating news. For the enemy, I doubt he wants to even believe that's true. And he wants you to know that that's not true. You see, the enemy attacks us from a position of defeat. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians 1, verse 19 through 22. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is for any above, far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world but the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things. That's pretty clear to me that there's only one who's in charge. When Jesus took our sin and our sickness and our abuse and shame and all the things that the enemy tries to ensnare us with today, Jesus took those things and threw it at the enemy's seat and said, it's over. This is over right now. No longer can those things hold us back from eternity with the Father. We inherit the victory that Jesus won for us. That's a good inheritance. That's a fantastic inheritance. That's a great inheritance. I read this morning, one morning in my devotions this week. It says this. It says, as sons and daughters, we fight from victory, not for victory. What does that mean? That means we've already won. You're already on the winning side. You're never going to lose. Every battle you fight, you're already victorious. Don't try to create a victory because you're not going to do it on your own. It's already there. We fight from victory, not for it. And perspective is everything. In one of Paul's final letters to Rome, he says this: the God of peace will soon crush Satan. I love that, but that's not all it says. And this never really jumped out at me before, but when I read it a couple times. It says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. I think that's cool. I'm be honest, because I know the enemy has messed with me many times. I'll be glad to stomp him out. But seriously, God says the enemy will be crushed under your feet. You're going to have a part of that. The enemy can still mess with us. He does a good job in doing so. But we really got to hold on to that. That God, the God of peace, will soon crush Satan under your feet. Hold on to that today. Why does the enemy still mess with us, though? Why can he, if we already know the battle's over, we won, we're victorious, how come it's still difficult? Because he knows he's lost too. And he'll go kicking and screaming until he's locked up for eternity, and he wants to take you with him. John 16:33 says, in the world, You will have tribulation. Everybody knows that. Everybody can say amen to that. But take heart. I have overcome the world. So if we have inherited victory from Jesus, what does that make us? There you go. Victors, victorious. Yes, absolutely. And what does that mean? That means our identity has changed. Our identity has changed. The way we look at ourselves should change. God certainly sees you as a victor. Do you see yourself that way? I'm not going to lie. I don't feel that way all the time. Maybe I'm the only one. Some days I still feel defeated. But why? This was 2,000 years ago that Jesus said, told Satan, it's over for you. You're done. The victory is already done. Why do I still feel defeated? I get that question. I understand it. I'd be lying if I told you that I never feel that way. I always feel victorious. That would be a lie. But why is it? Because the enemy is good at what he does. He does not want us walking around victorious. That would scare him. You claiming a victory that you already have in Jesus Christ, you just by claiming it is going to scare him. He does not want a bunch of us catching on to that. That's why he messes us up with lies and puts things in your situations that you're in and tells you this is impossible and tells you to give up and says your marriage is never going to work. Give it up now. You just need to end it all. These are lies. It's the only power the enemy has over you is lies. He cannot change the fact that he's lost. To say he is a sore loser is an understatement. He does not want us walking around as victors. He wants us thinking we're in a position of defeat like he is. And a lot of times, we feel that way. We feel defeated. Misery loves company. We could have the praise team come up here for a moment. You know, sometimes when the enemy's talking loud to you, and I'm not saying you're hearing him physically, but you're hearing, feeling all those emotions and you feel confused and you feel like, I can't do this. Just don't be offended by this, but just tell him to shut up. You can do that. And sometimes we need to, because he does need to. We need to tune him out because we already know that we are victors. And until you get that, until you understand, it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter how badly you have messed up. There's nothing in Scripture that says that Jesus only died for some. I don't read that in mine. It doesn't matter. The enemy's going to take whatever situation you are in and twist it and turn it to make you think that you can never come back from this. The voice of God says, you are victorious now. You just have to claim it and own it. Do you know one of the most powerful weapons we have as Christians or as anybody on the planet? It doesn't have to be Christians. The most powerful weapon we have is giving praise to God. You say, well, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, because we're human. We have to do something in order to receive something. We have to do something tangible to receive something tangible. But what God is saying, I just want your praise. I just need you to praise me. Well, that's easy, God, when things are going great for me. Like, I got a promotion today, and I've paid most of my bills this month. I'll praise you for that. But when things aren't going well, God, I can't praise you right now. Do you know what I'm going through? Do you know how difficult the situation is? These health issues I have, that these reports that came back from the lab and all this stuff. God, I'll praise you when I'm feeling better. That's our human approach, and you know, I've been guilty of that too. I don't feel like praising today. God says when we raise a hallelujah to him in those situations, enemies are destroyed. In fact, in the Old Testament, you will read, and even in the New Testament, buildings would come crumbling down people, the power of God would just take over just from people praising the Lord. It doesn't mean you have to sing to him. If you're like me, I have a voice that I can't even stand, so it would bother me to sing. But I can have praise of thankfulness to him, even in the middle of the storms. And that's so easy to sing, but so hard to do. That's an easy thing to sing. I'll praise you in the middle of the storm. But when we are in the middle, do we actually do that? There have been times when I have not. There have been times when I have. And the difference is everything. Because he has already won. Thank him and praise him in those situations. There's tremendous power in raising a hallelujah. And another, my buddy Rodney reminded me of a scripture from Psalms that I'll read to you. If I can find it. I got it. From Psalms 8, verse 2, you have taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you. You have taught children and infants to tell of your strength. Children and infants telling of the strength of God silences enemies. They don't have to know all the details. They know that God is my strength. And all I have to do is claim that, and it silences his enemies. That's for you and I. I think as children, we'd be a little bit more persuaded to do that. So we think, what do we have to lose? As adults, like, well, you don't understand how complicated it is. As children, they just know that God the Father tells them to do this, and when he does it, he'll take care of them. We got to get back to that. So listen. I'm going to ask the praise team to end with this song today because I believe it has a lot of meaning. I think some of you need to raise a hallelujah in a situation that you're in today because that's the only way that you're going to get past it. We can try with everything we have. We can try all the tangible things that we can dream up as a human being to get past these issues we have. But in the end, it's a spiritual battle. And in order to fight spiritually, you need to raise a hallelujah. Amen.
Well, thanks so much for listening today and allowing God to speak to your heart through our podcast. If you would like to partner with us, go to royaloakchurch.com/give or text ROCC to 77977 in order to financially support Royal Oak Church in its endeavors to take this message across the digital globe. With your help, we will spread the gospel of Jesus. Thanks so much for tuning in again, and we'll see you here next week.